Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, wherever you get your shows.
The R&B Tour starring Usher Raymond and Chris Brown is coming to Northwest Stadium on July 10th and 11th. Tickets are on sale now, a Live Nation show. Keep listening to 105.7 The Fan for your chance to win tickets, courtesy of Live Nation.
From the Anderson Automotive Studios, this is WJZFM, Catonsville, Baltimore's sports talk at 105.7 and always live on the free Odyssey app. From the OuchGuy.com sports desk, here's Joe LaCroix.
Ravens general manager Eric DaCosta has been making the media rounds the last few days, breaking down Baltimore's draft day decisions. And one of the more interesting stories that we've heard out of the war room was related to the possibility of the Ravens trading back in the first round for future picks, while still getting either pass rusher Reuben Bain, tight end Kenyon Sadiq, or the guy they ended up taking, Vega Ione. Here's EDC pulling back the curtain on the team's thought process when contemplating a first-round trade.
I think it would be for people to understand that, you know, when we're talking about trading back, the furthest we would go back would be 17, 14. And in that scenario, knowing we were going to get one of those three guys.
That sound courtesy of the Ravens Lounge podcast. Ione and the rest of the Ravens picks and undrafted free agents will be at the Castle this weekend for rookie minicamp. And Mother Nature put the kibosh on the O's and Astros last night, meaning today Baltimore and Houston will play a traditional doubleheader. Game 1 begins at 12:35 with the Birds sending out Chris Bassitt while Houston counters with Peter Lambert. Game 2 follows 30 minutes after the completion of Game 1. Brandon Young gets a start for the Birds. The Astros trot out Lance McCullers. Your Thursday forecast from the Bob Bell Kia Nissan of Essex Weather Center. Partly sunny skies and breezy. Highs in the mid-60s. This Fan Flash is sponsored by McDonald's. Downloading the McDonald's app has its privileges. Order your favorites ahead of time, save money with app-exclusive deals, earn free food, and get your favorites delivered with McDelivery. So stop wasting time and order from the McDonald's app today. I'm Joe LaCroix, Ravens, Terps, and your home for the most Orioles coverage. We are 105.7 The Fan.
Vinny and Haney Show, sponsored by Town Appliance. Your next home upgrade starts at Town Appliance.
For whatever reason, teams seem to covet our players in the offseason, so we lose a lot of guys. And, you know, we wanted to just kind of augment the depth, but I think also an emphasis on physicality, but the trades never happened. We thought we had a chance potentially to go back a couple spots. People may say, is that one spot, two spots, or three spots? Doesn't matter. But we thought we had a chance. It didn't materialize. Vanga was my favorite player in this draft, and so we were going to take him. Zion was our second best available player on that day coming in.
Going into the day.
As I ranked the board, for us, Zion was number two.
Okay.
We were concerned when the trade happened. We thought that there was a chance we were going to lose out. He's a guy that I had watched in the fall. Physical, violent player, strong run edge player. Well, I mean, I think Lamar's always liked the idea of a bigger receiver outside, jump ball catcher. We had that last year a little bit with D-Hop. We made the decision this year to try to find a young guy. And I think with both guys, really, Jacoby and Surratt, catching radius, contested catches, physicality when covered.
It's Eric DaCosta on the Lounge podcast, which is the Ravens podcast, talking about the draft class and decisions that were made throughout the course of last weekend. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato. Nolan McGraw's on the other side of the glass. Orioles play a doubleheader. We'll get to that in a few minutes. But we'll rip back to front because the Birds were off yesterday getting rained out. Big receivers.
Mm-hmm.
And he mentioned DeAndre Hopkins. Past his prime. Maybe underutilized. Who really knows what went down. But did not have the impact that maybe some would have thought that he would, even though you had seen in his previous couple of seasons. Now, he did help Kansas City get to the Super Bowl, but he wasn't their primary guy. So he comes to Baltimore, a guy that Lamar had, remember, he wanted Odell Beckham and he wanted DeAndre Hopkins during the previous contract negotiations, according to reports. Wound up getting them both. Unfortunately, didn't get them in their primes. But D-Hop has now moved on. So the Ravens go Jacoby Lane and Elijah Surratt, who you have broken down this week. Yeah. Lane from USC, Surratt, Indiana, went to high school at St. Francis here in Baltimore. But two big guys. And you heard Eric talk about Lamar likes big receivers here. So they both come in with an opportunity to be red zone threats. And, yes. you know, I guess they're pacifying a need that Lamar Jackson had at that wideout position.
Yeah, probably, you know, I mean, red zone sucked last year. I mean, let's just call it what it was. Whereas the year before, they were, I think, if not the best, one of the best.
Previous couple years.
Yeah. And that's when Andrews had 16 touchdowns. You know, they were all, you know, making a lot of touchdowns. And Lamar was running more. And if Lamar's not going to run, you know, as much, Bob, then having big red zone guys that can go up and get the ball. Yeah, like you said, Lane 6'4 and a half and Surratt 6'2 and a half and really strong and both know how to win contested catches. That's what they do. I really liked Surratt because I like Surratt is, you know, the competitiveness in him is outstanding and like the back shoulder stuff and everything. I really like what he can do. And I think both will help, you know, and you know, like with Surratt, when we talked about Surratt, Bob, I mean, you know, the first down conversions and, you know, I mean, that's what, when they had Beckham and when they had D-Hop, most of their plays were what? The third down, you know, making a play on third down, getting a first down on third down. You know, now that's what they have in, to me, more so in Surratt than in Lane. Lane, I love Lane in the red zone and stuff just because he's a 7-foot high jumper. You know, I mean, you know, he had a 40-inch vertical and he's 6'4 and a half. So he's going to be able to out jump any DB, you know, because how many DBs are 6'4? Probably if there is one.
They're scarce, I'm assuming.
Yeah. So, I mean, you got an advantage there. And I'll bet you Lamar will be working a ton, you know, on throwing that down in the red zone. You think you're, it was like when Montana threw it to Dwight Clark. They said, oh, you know, it was way over his head, you know, but there's only one guy that could catch it, you know? So, and that's the thing that Lamar's going to have to work a lot on those types of plays, especially with Lane in the red zone.
And you mentioned the back shoulder throws, and Mike Preston wrote about this after the draft. Lamar's not normally a guy that throws a lot back shoulder stuff in the red zone.
No. And, you know, it'll take some work for Lamar because it's a timing thing with your receiver. Because you throw it late, you know, on that back, that DB's picking it. And if it's in the red zone, or it's going 102 the other way. So, yeah, it's a timing thing. And Lamar will just need a lot of work on that. But both those guys bring something that they haven't had.
Also heard Eric talk about Zion Young out of Missouri, who, air quotes, fell to them in the second round. And he mentioned setting the edge, bringing toughness. Yep. And as you broke him down earlier this week, Benny, might not be the classic pass rusher, but
right.
There is that part in his repertoire of things he could bring to the equation.
He has sack production, sure. Bob. And I think the thing that we talked about, too, is I see them using him a lot like they use Za'Darius Smith. He'll be rushing over to guard because he's 6'6", 262, you know, and got some natural pass rush. With it. You know, he understands pass rush where he's going against a guard. You know, that's a little bit of a mismatch there. And I think that's where he can win, especially early on.
And we also heard Eric talking about Vega Ioane, his favorite player in the draft. Oh. Well, I would assume he's not going to say, well, he was my seventh favorite guy. But he just happened to be there at 14. But during the Liars luncheon, Eric's quote, you know, central casting. If you're making a movie about a guard, he'd be the star of the movie. So they got the safe pick. They got a pick that filled the need. And in my opinion, health permitting, a guy that's probably going to be a Pro Bowl level dude for years to come here. Just yeah. Like Linderbaum was at center.
Yeah. No, I don't disagree with that, Bob. And Bob, you could, I mean, if you were at the Liars luncheon, and we heard a lot of it, you know, and just like you said about Venga, you know, you could tell Eric liked him, you know, because he talked about, yeah, my scouts, you know, that you know, they love this school or that school. And Eric, like, I've been to Penn State a lot, you know, because his daughter went there. So he has seen Venga a lot, talked about Venga a lot, and he did mention Zion Young in there, too, during the Liars Luncheon.
Sure.
So, I mean, it kind of came out. And then when you took him, were you surprised? No, not at all. But I would have been surprised on that one comment, Bob. You know, sometimes, you know, like Eric talked about, well, we looked at trading back. You know, we didn't want to move more than three spots. But, I mean, you know, for a fourth-round pick, why are you going to get – if that's the guy you love and he's – you can have him right now, is it worth going back and picking up a fourth and then you have a good chance to lose him? To me, it's not worth it.
It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw is on the other side of the glass. It is Total Request Thursday. Pick a song, we'll play it. Send a request, Plaza Sport text line coming up at 11 o'clock. Get your votes in for Featured Artist Friday. That reveal coming up much later in the show. Orioles and the Astros, doubleheader coming up today. Oriole Park at Camden Yards because they got washed out last night. And it did rain all freaking night. And there was no way they were going to play baseball. Do have Houston's lineup. We'll get to that in a second. Still waiting on the Orioles. Chris Bassett is on the hill. Nolan, get in here on this one. Trevor Rogers, 15-day IL, retroactive to Sunday with an undisclosed illness. Now, I'm not even going to speculate what that means. Now, Garrett Crochet, we were talking about him because this that news came out right as we were getting off the air, kind of, sort of. He had shoulder inflammation after he pitched against the Orioles six shutout innings and had not expressed any sort of discomfort at all after the game. And we'll talk to Mike Bordick coming up here in a couple hours, and or an hour and a half, and then Ryan Ripken, and we get to Ripken with Ryan at noon. But this was a stunning turn of events because who knows? Look, I had the flu in February. I was on my ass for like 3 days.
Right.
Then you get an upper respiratory, you know, full disclosure, my throat's kind of sore today, but I've always had sore throat because I still have my tonsils at 61 years old. But an illness that put you on the shelf for 15 days, and he was going to pitch the opener tomorrow against the Yankees up in the Bronx. And he came up a shaky start Saturday. He didn't get through the second inning.
Right.
Again, don't even want to speculate what an illness could mean. Multiple illness means you don't feel well.
Yeah.
Where it's like it's his knee, it's his hangnail, it's his shoulder. You know, you got hit in the face with a foul ball where you see something happen. But I saw this news come down, Nolan McGraw, early last night, and I was like, "Where? What?" And again, it's undisclosed illness because you got that HIPAA stuff. You got, you know, you can't be blasting out everybody's health information. But, you know, and to the point where he's not missing a start. He's out for 2 weeks going back to Sunday.
And then does he need a rehab after that?
Well, who knows what his issue is right now?
Probably not. I mean, that's why I'm not really, like, it stinks, right, that he's going to miss at least probably two turns through the rotation because, like you said, he would have went tomorrow. So he'll give you one more in the next week, and then we're looking at Monday the 11th, his first day eligible to be back. So, yeah, I mean, missing two starts, it's not ideal, but it's not, like, something structural. You know, he'll be back. He'll get better. He'll feel better. You know, it's like,
well, we think, you know, we don't know.
Yeah.
Well, unless it's some sort of flesh-eating virus. I mean, I think
hey, Dietrich Enns had that foot thing.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't think it'll be some hidden mystery thing. Yeah, okay. They call it an illness for the technicality's sake. I'm sure Albernaz will talk about it today. First question pregame, probably be pretty transparent.
So I'm guessing that's the reason why he only went an inning and a half.
No, I think they had given up a ton of runs in the outing against Boston was the reason he won an inning and a half. But Trevor Rogers on the 15-day IL, undisclosed illness. And hopefully it isn't nothing more than, you know, he has the flu and he's going to need, you know, a couple of weeks to rehydrate and get himself together. Because the Orioles right now, as we sit on the last day of April, believe it or not, are minus Dean Kramer for an extended period with the quad. Eplin's out for the year with the Tommy John surgery, and his performance in spring send Kramer to the minors in the first place. And now your ace, opening day starter, who has scuffled lately, he's on the shelf. Now, Camp Foster was recalled today. Jose Espada, he'll be up because it's a doubleheader. Maverick Hanley, he's there. Rockabaco, MassinSports.com, and Rich Dubroff, Baltimore Baseball, tweeting this out or Xing it out, whatever the hell it is. But so there you go. So they're going to have to do something this weekend and Monday. It's a four-game series against the Yankees. Do you push Bradish up till tomorrow? I mean, Povich, I was looking to see if he was starting anytime recently. I would assume he's the obvious replacement guy because he's left-handed and he pitched well in his couple of appearances here in Baltimore. But now the rotation, it's like, reminds me of 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Where there are too many people. Oh, they got John Means back. And all these people are coming. There's too many guys. And before you know it, they're trading for pitchers at the trade deadline because they had nobody left. So all of a sudden, we're not even through April in this stacked rotation. It's down three guys heading into the first day of May tomorrow.
Yeah, that's the problem, is that you need the instant help right away tomorrow. So I think, are you right? Povich seems like the natural solution. You know, if he's on turn or if he's on normal rest, that would work out pretty well. But if not, probably looking at a bullpen game tomorrow. So my initial thought was, all right, you get Cam Foster up here, additional bullpen help for the doubleheader. Then we'll either send him right back or send somebody else from the bullpen back tomorrow, get Cade Povich up. But if Povich isn't on turn, then who else goes tomorrow? It's got to be bullpen game at that point.
So you're hoping to at least split the doubleheader today against Houston. And it is Chris Bassitt in game one against Lambert. I mean, everybody that was going to pitch, if it had played out in natural time, Brandon Young's going to pitch game two. It is a natural doubleheader, old school, 12:35, half hour later, game two comes up, Oriole Park at Camden Yards. Two games for the price of one, which used to be on the original schedule. They'd have doubleheaders scheduled throughout the year. Then the Players Association said, nah, we're not doing all that nonsense. No, we're going to make it more cost-effective for us, and maybe cost ineffective for the fans. Not trying to blame the players. Team's got a lot to do with it as well. But the Orioles and Astros coming up at 12:35. We'll be talking about that in real time with Ryan Ripken when he joins us. Gerry Coleman's going to be joining us at 11 o'clock. Talk about the Ravens with him. We're going to break down the Ravens depth chart post-draft. And we're going to finish up Vinny's draft profiles as well. Going to Northwestern University, our buddy Mike Harmon's alma mater, with a guy that was... He started his college career when Jalen Smith was at the University of Maryland. That's all I'm saying.
What happens next happens here. Baltimore Sports Radio.
That ball is out of here.
105.7 The Fan.
So if you're thinking of moving this summer, but you haven't started the process yet because it's overwhelming, it's not too late. So if you don't want to spend a month getting your home ready, you don't need to settle for less money than your home is worth. You just need to call Lee Tessier. Like the rest of us, Lee, he sees so many of those cash offers for your home billboards and gets the unsolicited texts also. He gets how convenient they are to take. What he doesn't get, though, is why anyone would accept an offer for 30% less than their home is worth. Does not make sense in my mind. So when Lee makes the same cash offer for fair market value, Lee's dedicated to saving your time and stress, too. With my buddy Lee's cash offer, there's no need for expensive repairs. You can sell your home as is and get paid what it's worth. So call the only agent I call if I to sell my home. And that man's my buddy Lee Tessier. Just give him a call today at 410-638-9555 or go to LeeTessier.com. And that number again, 410-638-9555. Or find listings at LeeTessier.com. And when you call Lee, oh, it's so simple. Just start packing.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, you'll hear true stories that will intrigue you, inspire you, and make you laugh.
He said, is there anything in your diet that might be spiking your blood sugar? I said, sometimes I eat pizza until I'm unconscious. He said, I think that might be it.
For real stories live on stage from comedians, astronauts, accountants, farmers, and people just like you, follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.
Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw, The Vinny and Haney Show, 105.7 The Fan.
Orioles and Astros. Doubleheader coming up. Traditional style, 12:35 first pitch. And then about a half hour after that, game two. All right, looks like Lance McCullers, Nolan, according to MLB lineups here. And that is the official website of Major League Baseball. He'll get the start in game one ahead of Lambert. Chris Bassitt is still on the hill for Baltimore, 1-2 with a 675. McCuller, almost identical stats. Matter of fact, they kind of are, it's out of the case. 1-2 with a 675. McCullers is a guy that's had a ton of injuries. I mean, he's missed seasons. He was a highly regarded prospect. His old man pitched in Major League Baseball. He's a talented player, but he has just had a ton of injury issues. And for the Orioles, as we just talked about, now hopefully Trevor Rogers is just an illness that's severe enough. He's just going to miss a couple of starts, and he'll be ready to rock and roll when he's eligible to come off the IL on May the 11th. And nothing more severe than that. Bottom line is Eflin's not walking through the door anytime soon. Dean Kramer not walking through the door anytime soon. Brandon Young has stepped in, who pitched game two, and has been outstanding for Baltimore. We're guessing Cade Povich probably gets an opportunity as well, because his last start, game against the Giants a couple weeks back, he was brilliant for 6+. One of the best starts of the year for the Orioles, as a matter of fact. But the Birds, they win the opener, trying to take the series, and then they go to the Bronx for four games with a disheveled pitching staff. Now you hope that the offense could start to heat up a little bit. The Yankees offense, they can mash with anybody in Major League Baseball, even though Eovaldi shut them out last night in Texas. But you get the point. New York's been on fire. Then they go to Miami, taking on the Marlins, who's one of these pesky teams with a couple of standout pitchers themselves, some young, talented players. But first things first, doubleheader today. We're not doing BBT, but, you know, I would trickle on down to Camden Yards. I'm assuming a ticket will be nice and readily available for you for game two, because you have a ticket for today's game. That's in play for 12:35. I'm thinking I might drive downtown today. Yeah. 2 o'clock, I get out of here. I'll be down there at 2:25.
Hey, Bob, I was
invoking
just
looking my First Amendment rights.
Looking at
makes
the weather.
No sense, by
looking
way.
At the weather for New York. Saturday, 70% chance of rain. Sunday, 75% chance of rain.
Huh.
The high, 59 and 57.
Maybe two rainouts or just what the doctor ordered.
You know
what
I mean?
It's also Derby weekend. Can you believe it's Saturday's Kentucky Derby? Oof, and full disclosure, I haven't paid any attention to it whatsoever, because my Uncle Dave Rommel, first team All-Metro pitcher for Poly, died 3 weeks ago. And, you know, that was his wheelhouse. So, you know, I like to gamble, so I'll bet on this phone call. How's that sound? Let's go to Sean in Baltimore. Make that bet pay off for Sean.
Hey, what's going on? What's up, man?
What's up?
A couple things I want to talk about. You know, a lot of people hit me up yesterday. It was mad because I was talking about the snowman and all that. Not the snowman, the polar bear guy, Alonzo. So I was dissing him, but I was spitting facts though. You know,
the
I understand
snowman, the snowman.
Yeah. Well, we call it snowman, polar bear, like
snowman.
Yeah.
Now,
yeah, it was so bad, but how did he get that? He had that nickname before he got here. We named him that.
His nickname, the polar bear.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, you need to start playing.
You're spitting April facts. Which, I mean, they're stats are stats. They don't lie. Numbers don't lie. But they can be deceiving. And we'll see how it rolls on. Pete Alonso is the least of my worries with the Orioles. Now, outfield defense, still number one, numero uno. And until it gets better, it's going to have to remain as such. But now the starting rotation is, what the hell, man?
It's crazy. 32 days into the season, man. Well, you got Eflin on the IL. Rogers on the IL. Kramer on the IL. Like, come on, man. Like, what is we cursed or something? Like, what is going on? Like, just give us a fighting chance or something.
And
like,
they're only a game under 500, though. So you can look at it with a glass half full. As crappy as things have been, if they sweep this doubleheader, they'll go into May over 500.
And then, you know, we got the Yankees, got a 4-game set against them. And then, you know, the rotation's all messed up. And then I'm like, you know, like, man, Dustin was talking last night, man. Like, the Orioles might get beat up this weekend. We might get beat up this weekend. Yeah. Like, I don't know, man. We're kind of second-guessing this. And then he booked the hotel. He's trying to save money. He got us at the Red Roof Inn in New York somewhere, man. I'm like, Dustin, man. He's like, well, I can have extra beer money.
Like, now, is that New York, or just like Albany or something? I mean, are you like actually in near the Bronx? Because the Bronx
is New York or somewhere.
I mean, know your role, show some respect, and you'll be all right. If you go in there like pop it, keep in mind, because if I was a Yankees fan, an Oriole fan came in there running his yapper, I'd be like, when's the last time you've been to a World Series? You know what I mean? It's just pump the brakes. Represent the black and orange, but don't turn black and blue if you dig around.
Yeah, they're going to try not to, but it's rough, man. The way they act up when they come to the Camden Yards.
I gotcha. I feel your pain because I hate Yankee
red
fans.
Red Roof Inn, I couldn't do it, Bob.
No.
Yeah.
You like drinking boxed wine for Vinny.
He said it's a junior suite, though. He said it's a junior suite at the Red Roof Inn, though. So
I don't even know what that means. What's a junior suite?
Yeah. Well, I don't know.
All right, Rashawn. Yeah, well, you stay out of trouble. All right, later.
I'd bring that wand or whatever to, you know, the light to see all the dirt on the bed.
Oh, man.
You know, the carpets are, oh, God, I couldn't imagine.
You're saying some sort of foul things could have happened in the room? Yeah, they wouldn't clean it properly before you got there. Anyway, we'll come back. We got draft profiles coming up. We're going to look at the Ravens depth chart as well. Got one more draft profile to go, but a post-draft Ravens depth chart and how that's looking for Baltimore right now. Rookie camp coming up this weekend. Ravens did sign two undrafted quarterbacks, as we've talked about, and they'll get to compete, and there will be media access, so we'll have that coming your way on Monday as well. But the Orioles, Astros, doubleheader, first game, 12:35. Chris Bassett for the Orioles. Lance McCullers, looks like, for the Houston team.
If you missed today's Big Bad Morning Show, have segments, hours, or full show delivered daily to your phone. Subscribe to the podcast and listen anytime on the free Odyssey app or wherever you find podcasts. The Big Bad Morning Show, live on the Fan's YouTube channel, tomorrow 6 till 10, 105.7 The Fan.
Memorial Day savings start now at Bel Air Hyundai, part of Jones Junction. Go see Kevin Brammer, the sales director, and get you a great sales experience. And you can save with 0% 60-month financing on 2026 Tucson's. Come see the 26 Elantra Hybrid. It gets over 50 miles per gallon, and make no payments till August 2026 on every new Hyundai. Now, we got banks on site for instant credit approval. Now, Kevin, he's going to give you $500 more than CarMax for your trade. Get America's best 10-year, 100,000-mile limited powertrain warranty, owner assurance. Plus, you get my favorite thing, Jones, for a lifetime, which includes free oil changes, free car washes, and an engine guaranteed for a lifetime. With over 2 million likes and reviews, you too, you can and you will be a satisfied customer. And the Memorial savings, they start now at Bel Air Hyundai, part of Jones Junction, 1504 Bel Air Road. Only 15 minutes from the White Marsh Mall. See that great selection at Bel Air Hyundai and get you a Jones Junction tag frame, just like me, my wife, Vincent, Charlie, and Rachel.
Life can feel overwhelming, but on my podcast, From the Heart with Rachel Braithen, we're in it together. Every Friday brings you a new story. Listen to From the Heart with Rachel Braithen wherever you get your podcasts.
Big Bad Morning Show, Vinny and Haney, Inside Access, live on YouTube weekdays 6 till 6. Search Baltimore 105.7 The Fan. Subscribe for daily shorts right to your phone and never miss what you miss. 105.7 The Fan. From the OuchGuy.com sports desk, here's Joe LaCroix.
Mother Nature put the kibosh on the O's and Astros last night, meaning today Baltimore and Houston face off in a traditional doubleheader. Game 1 begins at 12:35 with the O's sending out Chris Bassett, while Houston counters with Peter Lambert. Game 2 follows 30 minutes after the completion of Game 1. Brandon Young gets the start for the O's. The Stros trot out Lance McCullers. One more note on the Birds. Yesterday, the team placed starter Trevor Rogers on the 15-day IL with what was listed as an illness, though there was no further information on what exactly that illness is. The earliest he'll be able to return to the team is May 11th. And in Ravens news, GM Eric DaCosta is making the media rounds, pulling the curtain back on some of the team's draft day decisions, paramount among them, the choice of Vega Ione in the first round. Many are calling Ione one of the surest picks of the first 32, and it seems he's NFL-ready right out of the box. Here's EDC on the Ravens Lounge podcast explaining why he feels Venga was his favorite guy in the draft.
I think he's just one of those guys that when you watch his game, you realize there aren't many guys like him. Physically tough, physically gifted player, athletic, great balance, but his demeanor, his nastiness that he plays with, and also his intelligence.
Your Thursday forecast from the Bob Bell Kia Nissan of Essex Weather Center. Partly sunny skies and breezy, highs in the mid-60s. This Fan Flash is sponsored by the Maryland Lottery. Play the exciting new Diamonds and Gold Scratch-Off and new Rose Gold Scratch-Off from the Maryland Lottery. You can win up to $2 million. Please play responsibly. I'm Joe LaCroix, Ravens, Terps, and you're home for the most Orioles coverage. We are 105.7 The Fan.
Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw, The Vinny and Haney Show, 105.7 The Fan.
Try to request Thursday, pick a song, we'll play it. Send your song request, plus or text line at 410-583-1057. Coming up 11 o'clock, it's votes in Featured Arts Friday. That reveal coming up in about 3 hours or so. A lot to get to. Ripping It with Ryan coming up at noon. Talk about the Orioles and Astros. Doubleheader coming up today. Oriole Park Camden Yards. We'll keep you up to date on the score throughout most of the first game. And then the next game, you're on your own, man. Follow along. It's on TV. Check your local listings. Let's get out to the phones where you start breaking down this Ravens post-draft depth chart. For instance, quarterback, we kind of know what's going on there, but let's go to Cliff at White Marsh. Clippy, what's up?
Hey, Bob. I'm going to throw a derby horse at you here.
Let's do it.
We seem to do it every year. You know, this race, it looks like the heavy heads this year are the horses that nobody's going to beat. You're not going to see one of these crazy long shots win, I don't believe. But there is a horse in there that ran second or third in the Wood Memorial that closed like 9 lengths the last 16th of a mile of that race off a slow pace. And if he gets into the super is going to go from like $60 to maybe $500. And, gosh, I forget his name right offhand.
Oh, dude, you built him up and don't even remember the horse, bro. Come on.
Bob, seriously, I'm trying to think. Right the Party's the horse's name. So if he gets in there in the
He's in the five position.
Okay, he's in the five. And you know the five is the top post position for winning that race.
He's 31-1, too. He's high up.
But anyway, that's just my little something to throw in the supers just to try to inflate him a little bit. I was hard to watch. Hear the news about Rodgers. I mean, it looked like he didn't have anything on his fastball or anything the last couple times. Maybe this has a little something to do with it. But, Bob, before I go, I really don't think the Birds came north with their best team, albeit with Westberg and Holiday due to injuries. You can't stop that. But Brandon Young and Povich, and Kramer, they proved that they could get major league hitters out. And they, even if there was a bullpen piece or something, they deserved the chance to come north with that team. Now, the guy that came north, the guy from Toronto today, my eyes are on him because I don't like what I've seen out of him. And how hard would it be for the Orioles to replace him with, like, say, Young, if he keeps putting up good starts out there, Bob? And I'll let you go, but good luck in the Derby.
Yeah, thanks.
Good luck with everything.
Appreciate that. And I saw Bappert. Neither one of his horses are favored at all long shots. There's 18.5 million reasons Chris Bassett isn't going anywhere yet. Mm-hmm. That's what they signed him for in the offseason. So he's going to stick around. I know we've been talking about him and Charlie Morton, kind of comparing the two. I don't think it's apples to apples yet, but we shall see. And we'll find out today if he's going to start getting it together. Problem with the Orioles rotation in general, the command issues. They can't throw strikes, man, on a regular basis. And they always have that one inning that tends to do them in. But, yeah, your starting second baseman and your starting third baseman have yet to play an inning for you. And I think that's a real thing. The good news is Jeremiah Jackson has stepped in nicely, thank you very much, at second base for Jackson Holiday, who will begin doing baseball stuff here shortly. But their best team, I don't know what their best team is. I mean, their best team, Leody Tavares, would have been starting on opening day in center field if you had that sort of crystal ball. And we'll see how it goes. And if the Orioles are going to stick around, and there's a lot of mediocrity in the American League, and there's a lot of playoff spots to be had, this is where Mike Elias makes his money. What's he going to do to upgrade the team and fill needs that are going to be there?
Just a little update here on Trevor Rogers. Rock Cabaco tweeting out, Albert and I speaking pregame, said Rogers has the flu, hit him pretty hard. That's all we know.
So do the Red Sox. Yeah, I had to throw that one in there. I don't want to be that callous, but the flu can get you. I mean, again, I had it in February, but I wasn't pitching on Sunday.
I'm hoping it's timing, right? I know they made it retroactive to Sunday, but if this popped up or like the symptoms got really bad, let's say last night, obviously he wasn't going to be ready to go tomorrow. Ideally, he'd be ready or he should be over the flu by the next time he goes through the rotation. But maybe they just wanted to play it safe. I don't know. I'm still thankful that this isn't structural.
Well,
it's not a physical thing.
I'm not a doctor. But some of these flus are the ones where you lose like 15 pounds in like a week.
Yeah.
So he might have one of those like dehydrating kind of knocked on my ass ones. But either way, flu, that's good. It's not a shoulder. It's not an elbow. It's not a forearm. That's good news. Orioles today taking on the Astros doubleheader. We'll talk about that with Mike Bordick coming up around 11:30 and big time with Ribbon and with Ryan coming up at noon. But when we return, our final draft profile of 2026, we're going to Northwestern. Mike Harmon, our buddy from Fox Sports, his alma mater. We're going offensive line. Is it a guy in the seventh round that has a chance to make the team? Stick around. You'll find out next.
After Vinny and Haney, it's Inside Access.
Football heavy show. Femi Iambadejo, former Raven, will be in studio with us. Mike Silver was in the Ravens draft room during the draft. He'll give us the sights and sounds from the draft room. And Charles Davis, he's from NFL.com. What did he think of the Ravens draft? He'll tell us.
Next on Sports Radio 105.7 The Fan.
Now, when you sell your home, you want to make the most money possible. Not to spend it. Sometimes you need to spend money to make it, though. Just not with my buddy Lee Tessier and his team. Lee's going to tell you what every other real estate agent will. Your home needs upgrades, fixes, and repairs to sell for the most money possible. What Lee says that others don't is that you don't have to worry about the upfront cost for the work to be done because of his rehab refresh program. Now, Lee's going to take care of it. So let's just say this. Let's say that your kitchen faucet hasn't been working right for a while and you haven't gotten it fixed. Lee's got you covered. Now, shingles on your roof are falling apart. Guess what? Lee's got you covered with that. And you don't owe Lee a dime until your home sells. Each repair will help your home sell for more money. And at the repairs, they'll pay for themselves and then some. So call the old agent I qualify to sell my home. That man's my buddy, Lee Tessier. Just give Lee a call today at 410-638-9555 or go to LeeTessier.com. That number again, 410-638-9555. Or find listings at LeeTessier.com. And when you call Lee, I'll just start packing.
This is an Odyssey Sports Minute.
Maybe it's just Gen X nostalgia, but it's obvious the NCAA is coming to kill our March vibes, deciding to expand the tournament to 76 teams. Have fun filling out your brackets and heading out for wings with your boys on the first Thursday when you don't know who's actually going to be on the 11, 12, 15, or 16 lines, and when half the teams that are there have losing records. Way to fix what wasn't broken, guys. I'm Chris Mack.
The Vinny and Haney Show, sponsored by Valor Roofing. Trust your home to Valor. Vinny Serrato's Draft Profiles, 105.7 The Fan.
Again, a guy that plays guard. He has played some center, playing college football for a long time. Guard, primarily physical, tough, gritty type of Midwest, Big Ten type of offensive lineman. And at that point in the draft, he was by far the highest rated player for us, and we think he's got a good chance to help us at some point.
That's Eric DaCosta, Ravens general manager, earlier in the week, talking about the draft class that was 2026. And going on offensive line, Ravens did not draft a center, but as we go to Northwestern, maybe at the seventh round, they got a guy that could possibly slide over. Not to start week one, let's stress that, but maybe be a depth piece for them.
Yeah. Evan Bernstein. I'm guessing that's how you pronounce it. B-E-E-R-N.
Bernstein.
Bernstein. Okay, Northwestern.
I like the beer part.
6'3.5", 301, ran 5.25. 32 and an eighth arm, so he's got short arms. 9 3/8 hand, jersey number 60. 32.5 vertical, 8.9 broad. And he is a senior on top of senior. All right, in 2019, Bob, South Dakota State, redshirt. 2020, South Dakota State, played in four games as a reserve. 2021, South Dakota State, did not play. 2022, South Dakota State, played in 13 games, 8 starts at right guard. 2023, South Dakota State, started 15 games at right guard. 2024, South Dakota State, started all 15 games at right guard. 2025, Northwestern, started all 13 games at right guard. Now, his strengths, he comes off aggressive on the base block. He's got experience. Shows some nasty, smart, keeps his feet moving on the base block, tries to finish, thick lower, quick off the snap on the reach. He can get to the second level and get body position. Got good football IQ. He's got experience, over 3,300 career snaps. He's got good balance and technique, good angles. He picks up stunts well, and he has decent feet. Weaknesses, arm length, not explosive off the snap. Strength, not much explosion on punch and pass. Must stay low consistently, average athlete, more finesse than power. Lighter frame, undersized strength. In summary, I said, this kid I would try at center. He's smart, good hard work, and understands angles, shows good feet. He can also play guard, will be fighting for a roster spot. Size and length hurt at guard. I think he's going to be, Bob, a perfect practice squad. And listen to Eric, you know, help us in the future at some point. So to me, that kind of tells me practice squad type. And he was one of the last picks of the 237, you know, and there's only 245.
Yeah, he was a little on the aged side, but we were talking off the air about the undrafted free agents. And Diego Pounds, offensive tackle, the Ravens signed him, according to NFL.com. He's out of Mississippi, 6'6", 325. And Lance Zierlein, who we've been referring to throughout the week, his projected, has him as a fourth or fifth round pick, but went undrafted. And we were talking yesterday about the Penn State center, too, who played next to Vega as well, you know, maybe getting an opportunity to do what he has to do. So, Nick Dawkins. So, who knows? I mean, the Ravens always unearth a guy that goes they undrafted do. That, you know, helps the team in some capacity.
And they need help there. I mean, it would be wonderful if they found a surprise in the offensive line, because when we go over the depth chart, Bob, I mean, there's not a lot of depth there, especially there's going to be a lot of names that you don't know.
It's 5780-1057. The Fan, the lineup is out for the Orioles. Doubleheader today against the Houston Astros. Chris Bassett's on the hill, 1-2. And it looks like Lambert is starting game one. Oh, this thing's been it's been flip-flopping. Heads, it's Lambert. Tails, it's McCullers. Head, whatever. I don't care if it's Nolan Ryan. Rock 'em. Gunner leading off DH today. First game. Taylor Ward's in left field. Adley behind the dish. Polar Bear, Rashawn's favorite boy. He's out there in first base cleaning up. Leave it to Beavers in right field. Jeremiah Jackson. Hey, about time he gets moved up in the lineup a little bit. Batting sixth at second base. Moo Man's at center. How about that? Colton Cowser getting them splinters out that ass against the righty. Let's see what he can do. Kobe Mayo is at third. And Blaze Alexander is your shortstop in the opener against Houston. For them, by the way, Correa leading off at short. Alvarez in left. Paredes at third. Walker, former Orioles, at first. Altuve second. Diaz DH. Matthews went deep the other night. He's at center. Harris is in right. And Vasquez behind the plate in support of Pete Lambert, who's 1-1 with a 3.27. Those are your lineups, according to MLB.com, for today's opener, Orioles and Astros. We'll talk more about that with Mike Bordick, bottom of the hour. But Jerry Coleman will be joining us here at the top of the hour, the Be More Sports Pod, with both Bordy and Mike Preston. So we'll talk to Jerry about the Ravens, his thoughts on the draft, and Jesse Minter, his first foray into it. Whip around 11:15. NBA and Stanley Cup playoffs, hot and heavy right now. Series are ending. We'll get into that and more. So stick around here on The Fan.
Wherever the Orioles season takes you.
Say goodbye to this ball.
Download the free Odyssey app and hear reactions to all the biggest moments. Download it today and search 105.7 The Fan.
Have you ever felt like you were living just a B or B plus life? It's so dangerous to live that, more dangerous than a B minus or a C plus life, because when you're living a B or B plus life, you don't change it. You think it's good enough. Is it? I'm Susie Welch. I host a podcast called Becoming You. People think, okay, an A-plus life is not available to me, but there is a way. We are all in the process of becoming ourselves. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.